listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Welcome back, boys and girls, to another episode of Shell and Tell. It's Thanksgiving Eve for me, and I just saw us basically scrape by the Spiders with a last-second lead. You know, a win's a win, right? All you got to do is get that W. That's all it's going to read for later. Team's still got a lot of growing to do, but has a lot of potential. I think we're going to be all right. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. There's people definitely need to be playing better. Big boy Wahab needs to play a little stronger, shooting 50% inside, all of his balls being short on the front of the rim because he's kind of getting pushed out a little bit. Come on now. You're too big and strong and good for that. He'll get better. He'll get better. Well, speaking of getting better, we need to get better at our time managing because this week we did not have time to knock out a normal Shell and Tell with myself, Fred, Ahmed, the usual thing. Being that I'm from a family of nurses, our holiday is usually a little bit different. There's usually people working in the hospital on a Thanksgiving, so we don't usually have it that day. Ours this year was on Tuesday, so I was unable to be at the Birdland BS recording, and then by the time it got to our normal recording days, Wednesday, Thursday, Fred was slammed with being able to catch up with work and be it with family and friends on his holiday, so just didn't work out. But we didn't want to leave you hanging. Birdland BS did record despite not having your boy Terps BSpert there, and Scott and Fred held it down on the Terps segment, did a really good job talking some Michigan football, talking the upcoming Rutgers game, talking basketball that's happened, and you know, they recorded on Tuesday, so you'll get to hear what they thought would happen in the Richmond game there at the end. You'll be a little bit of future cast. You'll know what happened and see if they were right. So without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy. I will present you this week's Birdland BS Shell and Tell segment.
All right, guys, I guess I'm on an island on this one by myself. It's Shell and Tell time.
I got you on this one, too. I did watch the game and pay attention to it. So Drew can go to the bathroom. We're good now.
All right, so we're going to start with football as the Terps lose big and they get their asses kicked to number 6, Michigan, 59-18. Fall to now 5-6 on the year, still looking for that elusive sixth win.
Yeah, this one was rough. Obviously, starting with
I know, Googs. I know.
We don't want to have to do this. But starting with the senior night, obviously the honoring.
It was cool, man. The ceremony that they did, they had the families kind of all spread out in groups, lined up on the field, and they introduced each player. Honestly, like I realized the size of the class. I think it was like 24 players in total were seniors going into this. But when you start looking at some of these names, man, you start thinking about where this team is at right now. You're going to be losing a guy like Chigakonkwo, the yes. tight end who's been a beast these last couple of weeks. The Bennett brothers, as I call them, even though they're not brothers, but the two Bennett corners out there, you're going to lose both of them. Carlos Carrier, who's kind of super senior, jumped onto the scene a couple games this year after Dante Demas, which Dante Demas, another senior, who does have obviously they have the 1 year extra of eligibility if they want to use it because of the COVID year. But a guy like Dante Demas, he may have played his last down as a Terp. We'll see. We'll kind of see what happens with the NFL draft. But you can see for a lot of these guys, the emotions. I got a little choked up even seeing Demas come out because you could see how emotional he was. And the Terps, you know, we give a lot of credit to the Ravens and how good that they are with their social media team. You know, shout out to the Terps and the Terps social media team too.
They've been good all year.
They put together a video. It's just a short video. It might have been a 2 or 3 minute video. It was basically a thank you to the seniors. And it was a video of each one of the seniors sitting down and watching this thank you video from the coaches and staff and whatnot. And you saw Dante Demas cry and get choked up during the video.
Yeah.
So you feel bad for these guys. You know, a lot of these guys, this is the last time they'll ever play football again, you know, and have that kind of team camaraderie and being a part of something like this. Hopefully for some of these guys, they'll get more opportunities in the pros to extend their careers. But You know, it was cool the way that they did it and thanked the seniors.
Yeah, definitely a good approach. Now the game started off. I will say this: the game started off not as horrible as the score would have alluded to, because with 4 minutes left in the first half, it was still only 14-3.
Yeah, I mean, but literally everything that could have went right for Michigan went right. And yeah, when the floodgates opened, they fucking opened after, and it was bad.
After that 4 minute mark, they scored a touchdown and off of a fumble by Maryland to end the half and just started running away. It's 24-3 at half. And it's still like, okay, it's like, this is starting to look bad. It wasn't bad in that until that four minute mark, I'm starting there going, yeah, this could get out of hand real quick.
Yeah, and it did. We talked about it on Shell and Tell. Like, this was going to be one of those games where the Terps were going to have to play perfect football. They weren't. They couldn't make the mistakes that they had been making, especially down in the red zone. Well, it started right away. They killed themselves again in the red zone. They had four penalties in one drive alone in the red zone. All four penalties in the red zone. And that started in the first quarter. And you knew right then and there that this was going to be a long day for the Terps. It was. Talia statistically probably had one of his worst games as a Terp. He only threw for like 58% completion, which this is a guy who's usually in that 70 to almost 80% completion range, was just overthrowing guys, completely missed Corey Dyches twice in the end zone. So not only are you shooting yourself in the foot with these terrible penalties in the red zone, but then you're actually missing on opportunities that you do have.
Yeah, and you, I mean, you mentioned the four penalties. They had eight penalties in this game total that cost them 59 yards in this game. Yeah,
four of them were on the same drive in the red zone.
So it just continues to be a problem with them. The fact that they, you know, obviously you mentioned them not really being able to get the passing game really going. I mean, they had 178 yards on the passing, but from the rushing standpoint, 181 yards. They really only were able to put up just over 300 yards in this game total.
Yeah, Leah's usually putting that up himself through the passing game, but they did do better in the run game. Go ahead, James.
Real quick, I was sitting home watching it, and I know what had to kill Fred and Ryan at the game was, I think it was after halftime or before halftime when they kicked off. And they did the lateral pass back and just took up the field on your side.
I wasn't even going to go special teams in this.
I was like, I can just imagine Fred and Ryan just sitting there like, this is the shit I'm talking about.
Yep.
Get rid of the fucking guy.
It's like you were there, James.
Yeah. I was sitting there at home. I'm like, they just did that right in front of Fred and Ryan on the same sideline, just running right past it, dude.
Special teams has been so bad this year that I fully expected it to be bad in this game again, but I was still very disappointed. It's just I don't understand it. Again, you've got a coach out there who has NFL experience. What the fuck? I've never coached a day in my life, and I feel like I could go out there and do a better job than this guy. It's been an absolute shit show, but I don't even want to go on special teams on this because there was a lot of things. Like I said, Talia didn't have a very good game in this game. Penny Boone, who's a guy that Ryan and I have been clamoring to get a little bit more involved in the offense, get a little bit more carries. He had a rough game, couple of really easy drop passes out of the backfield. I don't know if he was playing a little bit nervous or what. It was just uncharacteristic for him to have that kind of a game.
And it wasn't, they just weren't efficient either, right? Third downs, they were 3 of 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot expect to win a game. You can't even expect to be in a game if you're only getting 3 first downs out of 14 on third downs.
Now, credit to Michigan because, I mean, again, I fully expected to lose this game. I would have been happy if they would have been within 2 possessions, 2 scores, and I would have felt content about this loss. I'm going to tell you now, Michigan has a severely underrated wide receiver core. Because if you look statistically across the board at their wide receivers, nothing really jumps out at you. And if you listen to anybody who watches this team, they're not very good.
But you know what they are? Fucking athletic.
They're super athletic. And let me tell you, their quarterback and their wide receivers, well, they had 4 quarterbacks in this game, mind you. But McNamara had a connection. And they must practice the fade to the corner of the end zone every day for like an hour a day, just throwing that ball because it was so pretty. They did it a couple of times.
You got
in this
a pretty
game.
Good look at it, didn't you?
I did. I had a very good look at it. Both of them were on the opposite side of the field, but I could clearly see. I mean, the perfect pass.
You were able to truly watch it develop.
There was no way a defender was going to get their hand on the ball. And then outside of that, we talked about this team presenting issues through the run game. Well, yes, the running backs did good. Hassan had a good game in this game, but it was Donovan Edwards who was the problem. And it wasn't running the ball. It was catching the ball out of the backfield on screens and short bubbles. He had 10 catches. A running back had 10 catches for 170 yards in this game, mostly in motion out of the backfield where guys weren't following him and he was left wide open coming out of the backfield. So we talk about like the miscommunication things with the Ravens. You're seeing a lot of those same communication issues with the Terps. It's been week in and week out.
They've struggled. And we've talked about that, right? From a defensive standpoint, there's been problems. One of the things that's been surprising is, and I feel like maybe part of it with him is he just feels he needs to make up for so many other people. Nick Cross has had some real struggles. I feel like he's
trying to do too much. That's right, the problem.
And that's my point is he's trying to make up for holes and trying to make up for other people. And he's actually hurting in all reality from a selfish standpoint. He's hurting his own value because
I don't think hasn't been that bad. No, I mean, I do think that he's playing a little bit too much up in the box sometimes. And I think that's because of the poor linebacker play and some of the injuries that we've had at linebacker. We did see Brandon Jennings get back out there in the field. He looked a little confused and a little lost on a couple of plays in that. Again, not getting out in coverage against the running back, Donovan Edwards. I saw Ruben get frustrated with a couple of guys on the field and end up having to leave his assignment to go guard the running back. Again, it's just simple things, communication things that need to get cleaned up. But to your point, James, again, we saw all four Michigan quarterbacks in the game. All four of them looked good.
They all did their own thing out there.
Yeah, exactly. So this, again, it was an ugly loss. There's no justifying it. There's no painting a pig pretty on this one. We got our asses kicked.
There was a lot of Michigan fans there, too.
There were. Well, yeah, we sat right in the middle of it. You know how we are. We sit right in the gist of it, and there was a ton of Michigan fans.
It was empty after, like, the first quarter. Oh, yeah.
This was the earliest I had seen the student section leave in this game.
They brought the flag down earlier.
They've been holding it down previous.
I give a lot of credit to the student section. We've been doing that all year. I mean, the student section for the football team has held out really well this year, but justifiably so at halftime. They're like, yeah, fuck it. It's Friday night. We're going to party. Or Saturday night. We're going to party. Yeah. Whatever.
Jim was just licking his lips at halftime.
Right.
So
And he wasn't wearing brown khaki. He was wearing blue khaki. It was a little different. Interesting.
So I look at the Terps right now, and here's what I would say to them. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity wanted in one moment,
knees
would you capture
arms
it?
Are heavy. He's vomiting on his sweater already. Mom spaghetti. He's nervous.
He's vomiting on his sweater already. But no, look, here's the deal. Man. You have one shot in front of you in this Rutgers game. You got Rutgers up next. Rutgers is 5-6. They're fighting too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've talked about it all year long, how important getting to a bowl game is. I don't give a shit if it's the Meineke Bowl. I don't care what bowl it is. Get to a bowl. Progression, right? Ryan and I talked a lot about why this Michigan game was so important to get the win was because not only do you secure the bowl game, but you do
mentally,
it against
emotionally.
You do it against a top tier team. That's one thing that this team
that you've kept close all year with other teams like that for the most part.
I don't know what games you've been watching. My point is they haven't had that marquee win yet, right? Getting to a bowl game is a step, and it's a big step, but I don't know how that impacts the current roster and the fluctuation within the transfer portal. You might see a lot of guys at the end of this year bail ship and find a better situation and leave, which is only going to hurt this program in everything that they've built so far. Hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just being a pessimist, but it comes down to this game against Rutgers. I can tell you now, if they don't get this win against Rutgers, it's abandoned ship. Yeah. Fucking everybody's gone, and we're starting from ground zero again.
I would imagine the way that this team started, there's got to be some frustration building from some of the guys, especially some of these guys that it's their, you know, the seniors. It's their last chance, so to speak. And I think that's one of the things you got to look at. This is a close game. This is going to be on paper, and really, in my opinion, it will play out this way. This will be the toughest meanest game they have played all year. You've got
Well, it better be the cleanest game.
But I'm saying that because you've got two teams that this is it. This is their shot. This is their opportunity to make it to the next level. This is written. It's a playoff game. Right. I wouldn't have been surprised to actually see this game get flexed into a primetime type game because of what the
matchup
means.
Nobody gives a shit about the Terps except for the five people who are in this room.
I just think if you play it up that these two teams are playing for their fighting for a bowl opportunity, you could play. Think about it from a marketing standpoint. The marketing could be there,
and it wouldn't work. Okay, I love your heart. I love where your head's at.
I'll be wrong.
There's a lot of college football out there.
Yeah, there is. So. Getting into Rutgers a little bit, to your point, 5-6, so they're on a similar path. They're again, both teams fighting for that bowl win. They're not a whole lot to worry about on offense. They're a balanced offense. You know, they're equally as good on through the air as they are on the ground. There's no superstars on this offense. There's not that one guy that you got to make sure you account for. But on the other side of the ball, defensively, they're a very, very good football team. They're averaging 10. They're giving up 10 less points a game than we are on average. So that goes to show you they're giving up like 23 points a game to our 33 points a game. So defensively, they're good. And their two wins in the Big Ten, they beat Indiana 38-3. I know Indiana isn't a great football team, but they beat them 38-3.
Manhandled them.
They beat Illinois 20-14, who we struggled with, but we did beat Illinois. But Illinois also beat some top level talent this year, right? So, again, this team, it's not going to be a walk in the park by any means. It's going to come down to how mentally tough are they? How bad do they want it? How prepared are they as a coaching staff and as players? How serious do they take this week in practice to get as prepared and put all things on the fucking table? Ryan and I have been talking about this for weeks. One thing that this team has yet to do is to throw any kind of fucking trick plays out there. They have done literally nothing from a creativity standpoint.
There's no wow factor.
All chips are in on this table. I want to see every fucking trick play,
every card play
that you got tucked up your sleeve, pulled out in this game, because that's what it's going to take to get this win. They have to get this win. It's so crucial to this program.
It is. It's crucial. You know, you talked about the transfer portal and needing to win this game, right? Here's the other thing. You lose this game, it's going to say a lot to some of the recruits out there.
Exactly.
Right? So it's not just the transfer portal. It's the recruits. It's the transfer portal of guys thinking about wanting to come here or wanting to ask for the transfer exception. Right? There are long-term esque, right? Because everything, it's college. It's 4 years, right?
Yeah.
It's long-term esque implications of this game. You have to come out fighting. And you've got to keep this competitive. If they start running away with this early, if it gets up 14-0, 20-3, whatever it may be, if this starts looking like that Michigan game.
Hey, this team only lost to Michigan by one, to Goog's point. We just got slaughtered by Michigan. I'm just saying.
And Rutgers normally has our number.
Yeah, I
talked about
Rutgers is a much better program than what they were a few years ago.
And to get people to get here, as Ryan was said, they're going to love our locker room.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, that's going to be this is on the road. This is up in.
No, I know that, but I'm talking about when the.
He's talking about from recruits come in.
Yeah, but
what is the recruiting? What does a facility do if I go there and I still don't win?
That's the thing right now, Maryland has no more excuses. The facilities are done. The facilities are there. Everything that you've been clamoring that you needed to be on that same level as some of the top tier colleges out there, you have that. The board is done. Everything visually and from a freaking just university standpoint is there. Now it comes down to production on the field, and that's from the coaching staff. And if you miss this,
you have to worry about the timetable that you start, you know, people start looking at locks because of the repercussions that come out of recruiting and stuff like that. It doesn't matter how pretty a facility and nice it is. If I'm not going to be able to really get my talent to the next level and go bowling and do these things that these guys want to do and play as a true Big Ten elite team, You've got it. You've got to win this game and start that path. If you don't,
never wanted to go to Detroit so bad in my life. Because Ryan and I talked about it. If the Terps go on a bowl game, if they go to a bowl game, we are going no matter where it is. And right now, talked to Googs about this the other day. The way the bowl tree kind of points, it shows us in the Quick Lane Bowl, which would be in Detroit. Get me there. Get this win. Get us there. I'm hoping, man. I'm pulling for you. I think the Terps will do it. I can put my prediction out there real quick. I do think the Terps will win this game. It might not be ugly, or it might not be pretty. It's. But I think they'll do enough to win it. It's going to be close. I got it like a 30-27 game. We win by the skin of our teeth. Oh, man, I hope I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I really, really think the Terps can pull this out.
If it happens, I'll point you to some good stuff in Detroit because there ain't much out there.
That's all right. Give me two or three things and I'll be
appreciative. I'll go with the Terps are barely able to escape this by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
They're not winning this game.
On a kick at the end of the game. Ugh. 27-24.
Okay, so we're right there within a couple points. Side note, speaking of recruiting. Recruiting's not going to get any easier for a long time.
Nope.
Up against Penn State, at least. Penn State reached an agreement on a 10-year extension with head coach James Franklin that's going to keep him through 2031. James Franklin's rumored to have been, you know, potentially interested in the USC job and a couple other jobs that were out there. So Penn State did what they needed to do and they locked him up. I cannot fucking stand this guy, but somehow he continues to recruit in our backyard.
I just looked up his contract. It's pretty sweet how they have it set up too.
Yeah.
That man has incentives to make extra money.
Yeah. And he honestly, like, he really hasn't done a whole lot since he's been there. No. He continues to get the recruits and whatnot,
but he chokes.
He hasn't won a big bowl game yet. So it's crazy to me, but again, what I'm saying. What does this university really attract considering the black cloud that still hangs over them as a university with everything that happened there? Are you really going to find a big name that's going to want to come there to replace a James Franklin? No. So I think Penn State did the right move here. I don't know if it was the right move for James Franklin personally, but it was the right move
to lock him up. Yeah.
All right, let's switch over to the hard court. We'll go over to basketball just for a second. Team is now 4-1 on the season, supposedly playing through the cupcake part of their schedule. But let me tell you, not a single one of these fucking games have been a cupcake.
Nope.
They've all come down to me stuffing my face with cupcakes in anxiety because I think they're going to lose every game. They come down to the wire. They fall out of the top 25 after losing to George Mason, go down to the wire against Hofstra. Yeah.
Blocked three-pointer was the only reason they won.
Right. Hofstra. Now, I understand the competitive balance of college basketball has gotten better because the transfer portal, a lot of guys are transferring from these Power 5 schools and they're going into these smaller schools and they're getting playing time where they weren't getting them at the Power 5s.
And then
here's the thing, and this is what I told Ryan. These smaller schools like the George Masons of the world, like the Hosters of the world, they might have two or three guys, like guys that they got from these Power 5 schools. But outside of that, they're still the same talent level outside of those two or three guys. This is the University of Maryland. This is supposed to be a top 25 program. They're supposed to be loaded from top to bottom in these top level recruits. We should still, because historically, when you think of the first like four or five games, the out-of-conference schedule, these are like the games you're winning by 20, 30, 40 points. You got your third and fourth string guys in there. We're having to play our best talent to the last whistle in that game.
Do you think some of that has to do with these guys? You know, this isn't the same team as last year, right? There's several guys coming from the transfer portal. There's several recruits coming in. You think some of it is the need to mesh that you really didn't have as much last year?
I think part of it is that, but again, to the point of all the transfers, that's the same excuse you could give to all these other schools who have all these new transfers in, right? They're all trying to mesh too. Doesn't seem to be affecting them a whole lot, right?
Fair enough.
I do think we have not seen the best of this.
But how many of those also have a par X's and O's coach?
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. And that's the thing with Turgeon. We all know his prowess as a recruiter, right? Yeah. He's able to get the talent in here. He's able to get the names in here, but he's still not a good X's and O's coach. And you can see that out on the floor. They look disorganized at times. They don't look like they know what they're running. They're not.
Are we in zone? Are we in man? Are we in zone? Are we in man?
They've got uber talent that they didn't have in the low post, but they refuse to use it. They'll play against these teams that are playing like small guards. And instead of having Wahab go down there and guarantee yourself 2 points every time you touch the fucking ball, they'll bring in other guards to try to keep up with them speed wise when that's not the proper approach. Your strength right now is not shooting the three ball. Golly, they're awful at it. Your strength is a 70%+ shooter in the paint.
Get the power down low.
In Qudus Wahab and a freshman in Julian Reese, who is dominating. But yet not once have we seen these two guys on the court together at the same time. I do think that comes later on in the year, but man, I think it's a missed opportunity. I think Terge needs to go back to the drawing board on certain things because I think this team has a lot of talent. Fats Russell is a very talented player, and I don't think he's being utilized correctly. Eric Ayala, he's been streaky. You know, this is the senior that we expected to step up and take that kind of, you know, that mellow tremble type of role, the Anthony Cowan type of role. I'm not comparing him in skill level, but I think he should take that role, and he kind of hides from it at times. So there's a lot of things going on with this team. They're still 4-1, but it's not a good 4-1. Doesn't feel good.
Especially when you have three other Big Ten teams that are still ranked. Now, we've talked about rankings don't mean a lot, but I think college basketball has been getting better with the rankings in their perspective because they do look at strengths of schedule. They look at when when it's a team that that's not expected to perform all, the Hofstras, the George Masons. Now, granted, George Mason has quite fairly regularly over the past 10 years been in the tournament.
Right.
Right. They find their way in at least once every other year. So there's something to be said about that and the level of competition that they bring to the table. 64 best teams in the country. So out of what? There's probably 300 or 400. Right. So it does say something about their level of talent. But when you're losing and you're ranked at the beginning on paper, you look like you could be a powerhouse type team, and you're coming out and you're not playing like a powerhouse type team, and you're playing outside basketball instead of playing outside in basketball or even inside out. If you don't have the shot down low, get it out. But right. I think Googs said
and
somebody
to yeah. Googs' point, when Qudus has gotten double teamed, he has not handled it well, and that is definitely an area of his game that he needs to work on. But again, I think if you have that low post presence of Qudus and Julian down low, you can't double team them both. They won't double team them both. And when one is doubled, you've got the other one there, and dominate the glass, dominate down low, dominate those second chance opportunities. That's just my take on it. I'm no college coach. What the fuck do I know? But at this point, I do not feel good about this 4-1 team. I do think that they've got a lot of talent, and I do think that eventually they'll get it figured out. They'll be back in the top 25, but it's going to be a while. Go ahead, James.
And that's the beauty about basketball compared to like football and lacrosse and baseball. Like those sports are more of a, you have to have a good team to compete. With basketball, you get these guys that transfer from a community college to like a George Mason or whatever and just show their talent off for a year. They don't give a fuck if they win or what. They'll just drop 50 a night.
Right.
And they don't care if they win or not and go to the NBA because they were seen and they put up the numbers compared to you have a team put together like Michigan because they have a head coach that has a name and they want to be back on TV and they put a whole team that not just one guy is good, it's a whole team that makes a balance.
Right.
And that's the thing about basketball. It can work different ways and we just need to find a chemistry with our team right now.
100% agree.
And I think we'll be better on during the season, yep. Like around the end of November going into December, we'll know who we are and who to put out there.
But the thing is, the Big Ten has a lot of big bodies in it, a lot of low post presence, right? You got to get these guys up to speed. You got to get Qudus as much experience as possible. There's no excuse that freaking Hofstra game, he didn't play a single minute. Or was Hofstra? I can't remember. It was either Hofstra or George Mason, one of those games. He didn't play this a single minute in the second half. That's unacceptable. This is a guy who could be your leading scorer and one of your biggest offensive producers, and he's not out there.
Well, guys, that's it. That was the Birdland BS show this Tuesday. They produce live on Facebook, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can stream live video. Every Tuesday, 7:30, cover Baltimore Ravens, Orioles, and your Terps, along with some top-end national news. Just a little bit opinion-based, make it fun. It got great video production if you can check them out anywhere with visuals, the YouTube or Facebook. They also put out a podcast if you just want the audio to get through the information side of things. But it's really, really cool technology they got going on over there. Makes me a little jealous. Well, that's it, guys. That's all the time we got during a holiday week. I hope to be back with you soon with some great news for football. Planning a trip away to bowl game in Siberia or wherever they put a 6-6 team. But I'll be there, and I'll be happy to have extended this season out a little bit longer. If not, I guess it's just on to the basketball season. See those guys down there. Love this team. Wish they were producing more. I think they're capable of a lot more. Hopefully they will get better throughout this year and prove that that ranking preseason was not wrong. I said when it came out at 20 that it was a race to 15 or 25. Are we done falling out of the rankings? I expect we will be back in them at some point. I do not think that this amount of talent can play this poorly for the whole season. I think that we need to shoot better. One of the things we saw today is maybe Hakeem Hart needs some more play time because he was the only one shooting threes that could be depended on. Ayala Spurdy, I love Eric. Hit some amazing clutch threes. But sometimes in the first half, he just can't make anything fall. So we're going to have to figure out the shooting. We're going to have to figure out how to play with a big man. We're going to have to figure out how to play with two big men, please, Turge. Why are we not overpowering these smaller schools? I do not know. But, again, hope you had a happy, healthy holiday. Until next time, here's the wishing. All is well under the show.